ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 29 एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्राचीन बरही टेक्स्ट नंबर 53। क्षुद्रं क्षुद्रांचरं सुमनसां शरणे मिथित्वा रक्तं षडङ्गिगणसामसुलूब्धकर्णम् अग्रे वृका नसु त्रिपो विगनैयान्तम् पृष्ठे मृगं मृगयलूब्धकबान भिन्नम् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर किंग, प्लीज सर्च आउट दैट डियर हु इज एंगेज्ड इन ईटिंग ग्रास इन अ वेरी नाइस फ्लावर गार्डन अलोंग विद हिज वाइफ। दैट डियर इज वेरी मच अटैच्ड टू हिज बिजनेस एंड इज एंजॉइंग द स्वीट सिंगिंग ऑफ द बंबलबीज इन हिज गार्डन। जस्ट ट्राई टू अंडरस्टैंड हिज पोजिशन। He is unaware that before him is a tiger which is accustomed to living at the cost of another's flesh. Behind the deer is a hunter who is threatening to pierce him with sharp arrows. Thus, the deer's death is imminent. Purport. Here is an allegory in which the king is advised to find a deer that is always in a dangerous position. Although threatened from all sides, the deer simply eats grass in a nice flower garden, unaware of the danger all around him. All living entities, especially human beings, think themselves very happy in the midst of families. As if living in a flower garden and hearing the sweet humming of bumblebees, everyone is centered around his wife, who is the beauty of family life. The bumblebee's humming may be compared to the talk of children. The human being, just like the deer, enjoys his family without knowing that before him is the factor of time which is represented by the tiger. The fruitive activities of a living entity simply create another dangerous position and oblige him to accept different types of bodies. For a deer to run after a mirage of water in the desert is not unusual. The deer is also very fond of sex. The conclusion is that one who lives like a deer will be killed in due course of time. Vedic literatures therefore advise that we should understand our constitutional position and take to devotional service before death comes. According to the Bhagavatam, Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavante manushyamarthadam anityamapiha deerah तूर्णम यते तनपते दनुमृत्ययावन निःश्रेयसास्य विषयः खलु सर्वतः स्यात्। आफ्टर मेनी बर्थ्स वी हैव अटेन्ड दिस ह्यूमन फॉर्म, देयरफॉर बिफोर डेथ कम्स वी शुड एंगेज आवरसेल्व्स इन द ट्रांसेंडेंटल लविंग सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड। दैट इज द फुलफिलमेंट ऑफ ह्यूमन लाइफ। आई वुड फर्स्टली लाइक टू सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ हिज ग्रेस राधानाथ प्रभु टू बी एबल टू स्पीक ऑन दिस वर्स। सो herein we find in this particular verse, Narad Muni is continuing the explanation of the allegory which he had given to King Prachina Varishat. And in this particular verse, Narad Muni is explaining to King Prachina Varishat the plight of a materialistic householder. He is comparing a materialistic householder to a deer who is very busy enjoying fresh green grass in the garden. A materialistic householder is very busy enjoying his family life, being attracted by the broken words of his children, being attracted by his beautiful wife. But just like the deer who is enjoying this fresh green grass does not know that there is a tiger who is ready to pounce upon him, similarly, this materialistic householder who is busy enjoying family life does not know that the tiger of death is ready to pounce upon him at any moment. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is giving three qualities of a deer, and we would like to speak on these three qualities of a deer and compare it to materialistic household life, and then conclude by what Prabhupada has concluded with, how human form of life must be used for devotional service to the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is giving three qualities of the deer here. Number one, if the deer very busy enjoying grass does not know that the tiger is ready to pounce upon him, which is the tiger is compared to the time factor. Secondly, the deer running after a mirage in the desert is not at all unusual, Prabhupada writes in the purport. And thirdly, the deer is very much fond of sex life. So we shall try to discuss these three points as Srila Prabhupada has given in the purport. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, in his instructions to Mother Devahuti, is explaining the plight of the conditioned soul within the womb of his mother. The soul, with a desire to enjoy independent of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, comes in this material world and takes shelter of a certain womb of a certain mother, and then takes birth and tries to enjoy within this material creation. But when the soul is within the womb of the mother, the soul is undergoing severe tribulations and tremendous amount of suffering. Kapila Dev gives this description in great details, how the mother's womb is a very constricted place, how pungent gases and insects are troubling the child within the womb. When the child within the womb is suffering like anything, at that time the child makes a prayer to the Supreme Lord within the womb. The child actually sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he is within the womb of the mother. And then he is making several different prayers. And one of the prayers which the child is making is very beautiful. Jantur Uvacha. The child within the womb is praying to the Supreme Lord whom he is seeing within the mother's womb. Tasmadaham vigata viklava udhrishya atmanam ashutamasa suridmay manaiva bhuyo yatha vyasanam etadanekarandharam mame bhavishyadupasadita vishnupadah. My dear Lord, I have now realized what kind of suffering the conditioned soul has to go through within this material world. I have forgotten all that suffering in the previous lives. And now once again I have taken shelter of this womb to take birth and suffer material miseries again. Therefore this is my prayer at your lotus feet. Now I want to get rid of this miseries. Tasmad aham vigata viklava uddharishya. Uddharishya. I want my uddhar. I want my deliverance from this repeated cycle of birth and death. And therefore, now I want to take shelter of your lotus feet, Vishnupadah. By taking shelter of your lotus feet, Mame Bhavishyat. In the future, I do not want to go through the same miseries which I have gone through in my past lives. Therefore, O my dear Lord, I now take shelter of your lotus feet. So, the conditioned soul within the womb of the mother is making this prayer. That in my past lives I have suffered so much, but Uddharishya, in this life I want to deliver myself. And thus, Mame Bhavishyad, I do not want to suffer in the future, Upasadita Vishnupadah, I am now taking shelter of the lotus feet of your Lordship. But what is the problem? As soon as the conditioned soul takes birth, the child takes birth from the womb of the mother, the child forgets this and continues to enjoy in this material world, continues to lord it over in this material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this beautiful bhajan, Bhuliya Tomare Samsare Achiya Peye Nana Bidavyatha. I have forgotten you, my dear Lord, and have come in this material world, and now having born, I am suffering the material miseries. Thus, when the conditioned soul takes birth within this material world and tries to lord it over, he is subjected to the miseries of material existence. The first of all is that the conditioned soul is an illusion. thinking himself to be the body and thinking that the objects of this world can give me some enjoyment. Just like a deer. A deer, when it is on the desert, thinks that the mirage which it is seeing will give him some pleasure, will quench its thirst. Srila Prabhupada would always explain that whenever a person sees a mirage, it is not actual water. It is simply a reflection of water. But as soon as we see a mirage, it proves that there is real water existing somewhere. If we do not have a conception of real water, there can be no conception of illusory water or mirage. Similarly, if there is no conception of real enjoyment or happiness, there cannot be a conception of illusory enjoyment or illusory happiness. Just like a deer, thirsty, is running on a desert searching for water in a mirage. Similarly, the conditioned soul within this material world, forgetting the real happiness, forgetting its real quality of anandamaya, runs after the mirage of this material existence, searching for happiness within the objects of this material world. Katham priyaya anukampitaya sangam rahasyan ruchiran samantram. Prahlad Maharaj is praying. And the conditioned soul is searching happiness in what objects of this world? He is searching happiness in sex life with his wife. He is searching happiness in the broken words of his children. If nothing is there, then the conditioned soul is very happy with the objects like furniture, chairs, cars. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining. And of all things, when there is no one to search happiness for, then some pets to take care of. Like in the Western civilization, people are rearing dogs and cats and are trying to find pleasure out of these dogs and cats. Everything is simply like chasing after a mirage. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, another beautiful example is given. Just like sometimes we find in the summer season, the rivulets and the rivers dry up. Poverty of a person is compared to a dried up river. Just like in a dried up river there is no water, similarly for a poor person there is no money, no objects to enjoy. Such a poor person seems to be very much controlled, right? Because there is nothing to enjoy anyways. But then in the rainy season we find there is heavy rains and these dried up rivers also once again get filled with water. Similarly, sometime in the life of a poor person, because of his previous karma, because of the will of providence, a lot of money comes, right? A lot of facilities come. It is like the water flowing in a river. And then what happens to such a person? Asvatantrasya. He becomes completely uncontrolled. He just lets his senses go free and tries to enjoy sense gratification like anything. Not understanding that the manifestation of these, all of these objects is simply illusory. Very soon, the summer season will come again. And the rivulets and the rivers will once again be dried up. Similarly, this person who is so absorbed in enjoying the objects of sense gratification does not understand that difficult times will come again. All the things which are being given to me will be snatched away by the influence and power of time. Just like by the summer season, the rivers and the rivulets dry off. Similarly, the karodpati becomes roadpati. A very rich man who has got so many facilities now becomes a pauper and now no longer continues to enjoy. At such a time, he comes to a conclusion that yes, I was chasing a mirage on the desert. I was thinking that I can make it up here. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that an extravagant person who is trying to enjoy the facilities of life is like a rivulet or a river. Sometimes it gets filled up and sometimes it gets dried up. Similarly, extravagance in life, sometimes all the facilities come and sometimes they are taken away by the power of time. On the other hand, a devotee of the Lord is like an ocean, a water body only. Not like a rivulet or a river, but like an ocean. He is deep like an ocean. Very calm and unagitated like an ocean, and he is always within his limits. Right. So, just like if there is a huge desert and one wants to quench one's thirst in the desert, One cannot quench one's thirst with a drop of water. One needs to have a flood of water filling into a desert. Only then one's thirst can be quenched. Similarly, this material world is just like a desert. And to try to satisfy one's quest for happiness is like trying to take a drop of water. If one takes material facilities to enjoy, it's like taking a drop of water to quench one's thirst. Not possible. But Krishna consciousness is compared to a flood of water. When there is a flood of water, then even in a desert one can completely be satisfied. Similarly, when there is a flood of Krishna consciousness in one's life, then one can completely be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to two disciples, and both of these disciples were once on a morning walk, walking with him. And Srila Prabhupada told both of these disciples, both of your names are very, very significant. One of the names of the disciples was Pushta Krishna and another's name was Tushta Krishna. Both were on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. He said, both your names are very significant. Tushta Krishna means one who takes great pleasure in serving Krishna. And Pushta Krishna means one who is pushta or nourished by serving Krishna. Right. So, Prabhupada said, if you try to take any material facilities to satisfy yourself, you will never be satisfied. It is like a drop of water in a desert. But if you try to serve Krishna, it is like a flood of water in a desert. Tushta Krishna, if one serves Krishna, one gets pleasure. Pushta Krishna, if one serves Krishna, one is completely nourished. So in this way, the first point is that a conditioned soul like a deer is trying to chase these material objects in this world, trying to get some enjoyment. Prabhupada would very often explain about Shahjahan. He said, Shahjahan built the Taj Mahal for his wife, right? And Shahjahan is no longer there, and the Taj Mahal is still there. Prabhupada explained that even when Shahjahan was present and he built the Taj Mahal as a memorial for his wife, Aurangzeb, his son, imprisoned Shahjahan. What to speak of after death, even when he was living, he could not see the Taj Mahal. Aurangzeb deliberately imprisoned Shahjahan in such a way that he could not get even a single glance of the Taj Mahal. So he worked so hard to build this Taj Mahal, thinking that I'll get some enjoyment out of it. But it was not at all possible for him. Prabhupada also gives another example in his book, The Light of Bhagavad, based on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives the example of how, when there is the rainy season, before the rainy season, the gardener works very hard in the garden. He sows several seeds, tries to grow several plants. And when there is the rainy season, all of his efforts bear fruits. All of the plants have nice flowers, and all the fruit-bearing trees now bear wonderful fruits. In this way, the garden is lush green, filled with nice, fragrant and beautiful flowers, filled with nice fruits. In this way, the gardener is trying to enjoy the flowers and the fruits in his garden, not knowing that once the rainy season is over and once the scorching heat of the summer sun comes upon his garden, all the grasses, the plants, the flowers, the fruits will all be finished and dried off. Unaware of this, the gardener is simply absorbed in enjoying the flowers and fruits of the garden. Srila Prabhupada writes that a materialistic householder, his household life is like that of a garden. And all the different flowers, grasses, trees, fruits are like the furniture, the cars, the television sets, the show pieces. All of these are like the beautiful flowers and fruits which are growing in this garden. And the gardener, the householder, is completely absorbed, enjoying the fruits and flowers of his garden, enjoying the furniture, enjoying the facilities in the household life. But he does not know that very soon the summer season will come. And all of these flowers and grasses and trees will be dried up. Similarly, a materialistic householder, absorbed in family life, enjoying family life, does not know that times will come when all of these facilities will be taken away from him, right? And he will be left high and dry, simply to himself. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, one time Srila Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk in Los Angeles, And Srila Prabhupada saw beautiful, beautiful palatial house, huge palatial building. And Srila Prabhupada said, perfect building. And then as they were walking a little ahead, they saw that the building had a beautiful arched gate. Srila Prabhupada said, perfect gate. The devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, would you like to go inside and see the house? So they went inside and Prabhupada saw the interiors of the house. And Prabhupada said, perfect interiors. And then when Srila Prabhupada was walking back out of the house, Prabhupada said, too perfect a house, too perfect a building, too perfect an arch, too perfect a garden. It is all too perfect. And therefore, the owner of this household will have to come back again as a bug in the same house. Since it is so perfect, he is so attached to it, that it is too difficult for him to give it up. It is too perfect to be detached. And because he is so attached, he will once again be born as a bug in the same house. Right. So, a materialistic householder, like a deer, is chasing after the mirage of the objects of this world. And specifically, the most alluring object is the opposite sex. Like Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport, that a deer is specially fond of sex life. Right. Similarly, Prabhupada would very often explain that a materialistic person in this creation is shackled by the shackles of sex life. Right. Prabhupada would explain in the Nectar of Instruction also, Srila Prabhupada explains that household life is meant for procreation. Dharma aviruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarishava. Krishna explains in the Gita that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles is me. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say that if I can produce Krishna conscious children, I have no problem having sex thousands of time. But a materialistic householder is not concerned about procreation for Krishna consciousness. A materialistic householder is concerned simply about sense enjoyment. A grahastha and a grahamedhi, both are taking austerities, but for a different purpose. A grahamedhi may also take austerities, working hard day and night, but simply for the satisfaction of his senses. And a grahastha may also take austerities, but for ultimate salvation. An example is given by Srila Prabhupada, that sometimes we find a lady, she does not mind going through the pain of piercing her ear or piercing her nose. It's very painful to get one's ear or one's nose pierced. They make a hole in the ear or the nose. But what is the purpose? They do not mind going through the pain because ultimately their nose will be decorated with a nice nose ring or the ears will be decorated with a nice earring. Prabhupada says, similarly, grahamedis, they do not mind going through so much hard work, so much endeavor, so much tapasya, because they know, ultimately after doing all that, I want to finally satisfy my senses. Right? But a grahastha, his purpose of taking austerities is to get ultimate salvation. His coming together in family life is simply to give a soul an opportunity to take birth and to achieve ultimate salvation. The husband and the wife are helping each other being Krishna conscious, and the husband and wife are helping another soul also being Krishna conscious. So unless family life is based on this principle of Krishna as the center, it is going to be the source of ultimate misery. And an example is given in the 10th canto, just like sometimes there is a fish and the fish is swimming in the waters. When the fish gives birth to several other fish, hundreds of fishes, then the same hundreds of fishes, the water is very less in the river now, the same hundreds of baby fishes drink away all the water that is the source of sustenance for the mother fish. Right. And now the mother fish dies out of want of water. Similarly, a materialistic householder gives birth to children. Right. And earns so much money for the satisfaction and the training of his children. But what happens? The same children now take away all the resources that were meant for their training, that were meant for their maintenance. Now they take it all for themselves and the householder is left just without anything. the children kick him out of his house. Just like the mother fish. All the water is drunk away by the baby fish, and now the mother fish has no water for its survival. Similarly, all the facilities created by the householder are taken away by the children, and he is left without anything for his survival. So person is so much attracted to enjoy the sex impulse. There was a certain airlines company which was known as the Atlantic Airlines. And the owner of this company was 65 years old. He was a married man and he had divorced so many times. But his only desire was to enjoy sex life. And what did he want? He wanted only virgin girls to enjoy. And therefore he changed the name of his company. This airline company is now known as Virgin Atlantic. Man. 65 years old man. In spite of marrying so many times, in spite of enjoying so many times, still like the deer who is so fond of enjoying sex life, could not give up this desire. So much so that he changed the name of his airlines to Virgin Atlantic. And the third point that Srila Prabhupada is making in the purport is that the deer, so absorbed in enjoying, does not know that there is a tiger waiting right there behind to pounce upon him. The time factor will come and destroy the deer. Srila Prabhupada explains about Ajamil. Right? In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, and then Prabhupada comments on this. Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the plight of Ajamil. Bhunjana prapivan khadan balakam snehayantrita bhojayan payayan mudho navedagatamantakam bhunjanam prapivan khadan balakam snehayantrita. Ajamil got so attached, snehayantrita, to his young child, the tenth child Narayan. Bhunjanam prapivan khadam. Whenever he would sit to eat, he would say, Ajit, Narayan, please come eat with me. Prapiban. Whenever he would drink something, he would call, come Narayan, drink something with me. In this way, bhojayan papiyan. Right. He was helping the child to eat something, helping the child to drink something. Moodha. Foolishly, just so much attached to his child, so absorbed in this, na vedagatam antakam. He could not see antakam, the tiger of death is approaching. Just like a deer who is completely absorbed in eating fresh green grass cannot see that there is a tiger behind approaching me. Similarly, Ajamil, so absorbed in family life, could not see na veda agatam antakam, could not see the death is approaching him. So one time there was a man who was walking into the forest. And as this man was walking in the forest, a tiger came in front of him. And this man was very old. The tiger said, now I want to eat you. So the man said to him, but I am a very old man. What will you do with me? I am so old. My blood is very cold. Right? You better go to a young man. This young man, you will get some warm blood, some hot blood. The tiger replied back, today I am in the mood of having a cold drink. Right? I am not in the mood of having a hot drink today. Death is just like a tiger. And when the tiger of death comes in front of us, it does not discriminate whether we are cold-blooded, warm-blooded, whether we are old, whether we are young, whether we are man, whether we are woman. Regardless of who we are, the tiger of death comes and pounces upon us. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained by Maitreya Rishi, what is the plight of the conditioned soul in this material world? He explains, pramatta uchchai ritikritya chintaya. Pramatta uchchai itikritya chintaya. A person who is completely mad, the conditioned soul, is traveling from one place to another, trying to get some material enjoyment. But what is this conditioned soul like? Kshul leli hano ahir ivakhum antakam. Right. Kshul leli hano ahir ivakhum antakam. Akhum means a mouse. Just like a mouse. Sometimes we find a mouse goes to one house, gets some little bread piece there, thinks this bread piece is not so tasty. Let me go to another house, maybe I'll find something nice, something more wonderful. Goes to another house, gets something more nice to eat, thinks this is not good. Keeps moving from one house to another. not knowing that Chulleli Hano Hir, Ahir, a hungry snake with its very sharp tongue is following the mouse. The mouse is going from one house to another trying to get some facilities, but a very hungry snake is following the mouse, and at any moment the snake can pounce upon the mouse. Similarly, the conditioned soul is trying to move from one country to another, from one village to another, trying to improve his material enjoyment. And when he is frustrated, he wants to move from this planet to some other planet to get some enjoyment there. Not understanding that the snake of death, the hungry snake of death, is following the conditioned soul. And at any moment can pounce upon him and can finish him to death. Another example is given in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the time factor. And the example is given that the conditioned soul within this material world is just like a fish in a shallow river. When there is a shallow river and the fish is swimming within the shallow river, what is happening? The powerful sun is slowly, steadily drying the waters of the river. And the fish is not able to understand that the heat of the sun is drying the waters of the river. Very soon, all the water will be evaporated. And what will happen to the fish? The fish will starve unto death because there is no water around. So it is explained that the sun is compared to the eternal time factor. Just like the sun is drying away the waters in which the fish is surviving, similarly the eternal time factor is practically drying away our life. And very soon we will be completely finished by the power and the influence of the time factor. A person who is standing on the banks of the river is able to see that yes, the water is slowly, steadily being evaporated. Someone may argue, what is the problem? At least, till the time the water is there, the fish is enjoying. Is it not? Till the time the water is there, the fish is swimming in the water and is surviving. There is no problem. But no. When the water is very shallow, even when the fish is swimming in the water, the scorching heat of the sun makes the fish suffer like anything, even when the water is there. And when the water is dried up, definitely it's going to die. Similarly, even when we are living and some facilities are there around us, still family members, government officials and so many other people in this world are giving us trouble. Just like the scorching heat of the sun is giving trouble to the fish. And ultimately, when the water is dried up, the fish dies. Similarly, ultimately when our time comes, we leave this world to simply take birth into some other species of life. In this way, the time factor is constantly approaching us, just like the tiger is approaching the deer who is very busy eating the fresh green grass. A materialistic householder like a deer is chasing the mirage on a desert. A materialistic householder like a deer is very fond of sex life. A materialistic householder like a deer, very busy in eating the grass, is unaware of the fact that the tiger of death is there to pounce upon him. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that one should not be like this deer, simply running after the mirage, simply fond of sex life, simply being absorbed in enjoying the objects of this world, unaware that death will come. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes in the purport a verse from the 11th canto, Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavante. This human form has been achieved after many, many lifetimes. It is sudurlabham, very, very rare to achieve. Anityam, it is temporary. Although it is rare and temporary, yet arthadam, it can give us the maximum benefit. It can take us back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes based on this verse, before death comes, one must use this human form of life for ultimate perfection. Therefore, when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi and he went to the banks of the river Ganga to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Shukadeva Goswami arrived there. Parikshit Maharaj raised his questions to Shukadeva Goswami. Please tell me, what is the duty of every person in all circumstances? Specifically tell me, what is the duty of a person about to die? At that time, firstly, Shukadeva Goswami congratulated Parikshit Maharaj saying, your questions are very glorious because they are beneficial for one and all. Krito lokahitam ripa. Lokahitam, it is for the benefit of one and all. And then in three verses, Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging Parikshit Maharaj for the decision he has taken. He is now telling Parikshit Maharaj what is the plight of the materialistic people in this world. And Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nirnam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. There are hundreds and thousands of topics to discuss for the materialistic householders. Right. So many topics to discuss, so much news to be heard, that in a day there are three newspapers. In morning there is Sakal, in afternoon there is Midday, and evening there is Sandhyananda. Right. Three newspapers in a day. So many things to discuss and hear about. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nam Santi Sahasrasa. Parikshit Maharaj has come and now is sitting on the bank of the river Ganga for what? To hear Krishna Katha. So first thing is saying, there are people who are absorbed in hearing so many mundane things. Congratulations Maharaj Parikshit. You have chosen to hear, that is worth hearing, the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord. Secondly, he is saying, Nidraya hriyate naktam yavayena chavavyaya vayaha divacha artha iyaya rajan kutumba bharanenava. The materialistic people, their night is spent in either sleeping or sex life, and their daytime is spent in simply earning more and more money for sense gratification. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, your decision to come and sit here day and night is very glorious. They are spending their day in earning money, they are spending their night in sleeping and sense gratification. But you are going to come here and sit here for 7 days and seven nights constantly. Your decision is very glorious. You are going to spend your days in hearing about the Lord and night in hearing about the Lord. Congratulations, my dear Parikshit Maharaj. And then finally, the third verse is saying, Deha apatya kalatradishu atma sainyeshu asatsu api tesham pramattaha nidhanam pashyanapina pashyati. All of the people in this world, Deha apatya kalatra adishu, they think that their body, their wives, their children, their family can protect them. But they are all infallible soldiers. My dear Parikshit, your decision is glorious. Atma jaya sutagara pashu dravina bandushu. You have given up your family connections, you have given up all your material attachments, and now you have come here to sit and hear the glories of the Lord. Congratulations. Because you are able to sever the tie of material attachments. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit was encouraged by Shukadeva Goswami for his decision. All what materialistic householders are doing, you are not doing, my dear Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, congratulations. And thus, then Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, the Srimad Bhagavatam. To conclude with, the Niti Shastras explain how one should use one's body before it falls off. Yavadasti idam kalevara griham yavaccha dure jara yavadasti indriya shakti apratihata yavat kshayo nayusha atmam shreyasitavadeva vidusha karyo prayatno mahan prodipte bhavanam tu kupakhananam pratyudyuma kidrisha. The Niti Shastras are comparing this human body to a house. Yavadasti idam kalevara griham. Kalevar means the body, and kalevar is compared to griha or a house. Just like if a person has a house and one sees that a brick from the one of the walls is fallen off, will one wait, let the wall fall off and then I will take care of the house? The moment a brick falls off, immediately a person says, I must call a mason and repair it. Similarly, in this body which is like a house, the moment there is a sign of some degeneration, right, one must immediately start repairing it. And when does the degeneration begin? Right at birth. The moment this house is made, there is a brick that falls off. There is some degeneration that comes about. Which means Krishna consciousness should be taken to right at birth. Right from early childhood. Right. Kaumaram acharit pragyo. Idam kalevara griham. Yavadasti idam kalevara griham. Right. Yavadasti idam kalevara griham yavaccha dure jara. So long as old age is far off, which means when one is young one must take to Krishna consciousness. Yavadasti indriya shakti apratihata. When there is a lot of power, vigor and vitality in one's senses.
Right.
Shakti apratihata. Indriyas are very powerful. One must use these senses in the service of the Lord. Yavat kshaye na ayusha. So long as one's life is not yet gone off, which means when one still has a lot of life to live. Atmam shreyasi tavad. One must take to Atma Shreya, Krishna consciousness, spiritual life at that time. Why? Karyo prayatno mahan. This is the most important project of life. And a beautiful example is given. Prodipte bhavanam tu kupakhananam. When the house is on fire, prodipte bhavanam, kupakhananam. Will one go and dig a well at that time? What is the use of digging a well when the house is on fire? In the Vedic times, whenever a person would build a house, they would also build a well for two purposes. One for drinking water, and second is, if the house is on fire, the water will be used to extinguish fire. There is no fire brigade. If a person's house is on fire, then he starts digging a well. That is not possible. Therefore, the Niti Shastras explain, when one is young, when the senses are powerful, when there is still life to live, when there is a sign of degeneration in the body, right at that time one must take to Krishna consciousness. Why? Because when death comes, when old age comes, it is like a house set on fire. At that time one cannot dig the well of Krishna consciousness. Thus, having achieved this human form of life, one must not simply spend it in materialistic affairs, but one must take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. Right. And grahastha life or householder life is promoted by the Vedic literatures but based on Krishna consciousness. So to summarize what we discussed today, we discussed firstly how the soul comes into this material world and prays to the Lord within the womb of the mother that now I take shelter of your lotus feet because I want to deliver myself. However, when it takes birth, forgets it and like a deer gets absorbed in sense gratification. Firstly, like a deer chases after the mirage of material existence. And we gave two examples for this. One was the rivulets. Like the rivulets are filled by the rainwater and dried up in the summer. Similarly, all the objects got by the householder are taken away by time. And the second example was that of the gardener. How in the rainy season, there are beautiful flowers and grasses and fruits on trees. But as summer approaches, it is all dried up. Secondly, a deer is very much attracted and fond of sex life. So we explained how grahastha and grahamedhi life, both there is austerity. But in one case, the austerity is for enjoyment. In another case, the austerity is for ultimate salvation. And sex life, simply for sense enjoyment. What happens? We gave the example of the mother fish and the baby fish. All the baby fish dries up the water, which is the source of survival for the mother. Thirdly, we explained, the deer enjoying the grasses is unaware of the time factor, which is compared to a tiger. So two examples were given. Time factor is compared to a snake chasing a mouse, and time factor is compared to the sun, which is drying out the waters in a shallow river, and the fish is ultimately dead. Finally, we concluded, therefore, one must use this human form of life for its proper purpose. Labdva sudurlavam idam bahu sambhavante. One must use this rare human form of life to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Just like one will not dig a well when the house is on fire, similarly, one must not take to Krishna consciousness at the fag end of life, but one must take to Krishna consciousness when the senses are powerful, when there is still life to live, and when the first sign of degeneration is seen within this body. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So today being the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, His Grace Radhanath Prabhu wants to speak about Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur for a few minutes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.